Okay, listen carefully now because you're going to be tested on this. God, gospel, repentance, faith. Get those four. God, gospel, repentance, faith. That's the pitcher, the ball, the batter, and the catcher. Or the plate and the batter. Whatever you want. All right, so you got the first four? God, gospel, repentance, faith. Has anybody got that? It's awesome. All right. Now, the next four are meditation, happiness, worship, and character. Okay, so we're not going to go that far. The next are guidance, obedience, testing, and victory. So now you have all 12. So to be a disciple, that is to move from being a believer to being a disciple. To be a disciple, you have to know those 12 things. 12 things. It's just like baseball. So every time we want to hit a home run and get a victory, real easy. But you have to go in order. You cannot run over the pitcher. That's wrong. And the worst thing to do would be to run instead of to first base because they have the ball to third base. But that's what a lot of people do. Most Christians do that, by the way. They immediately run after believing, they immediately run to obedience. All the faith teachers, everybody, they all do that. They don't want to go through all the bases. For example, they hate happiness. Did you know that most Christians don't want to be happy? They want to complain and gripe. So they wouldn't want to go to happiness. Can you see that? Most Christians that you meet are not happy. Are you aware of that? I mean, they might be happy when they're in church because they're hypocrites and liars and faking it. But really, truly, truly, all the time, forever, happy. That's why you have to go to first base. And when you do that, and that's long before holiness. But most people think you're supposed to be holy, then you'd be happy. Uh-uh. You have to be happy, then you'll be holy. Why? Because happiness is holiness. Why? Because God's good. Since God is a loving Father, that makes me happy. Therefore, holiness is easy. Since He's a loving Father who takes care of everything, wahoo! You see that? So that's what parenthood is all about. Your children will be happy, not if you have to obey. They're not happy because they obey. They're happy because they don't have to obey, because the parent will make the bed. The parent will feed them and clothe them. Isn't that neat? Have you ever heard of a parent that did that? A parent that took all the responsibility while the child just relaxed. You see that? See that makes happy children? So, simple, same way God. God is exactly the same way. He does it all. One stop shopping, it's over. So, this is not taught. Most churches, even though they say grace, they actually teach obedience. They say grace. They always say grace over the door because that's Protestant. You're supposed to say that. Catholics don't have to say that. They can say works. But Protestants say grace, and then they do works. I love it. Did somebody mow the lawn this week? See, they make you feel guilty right away. Same thing the Catholics do. It's powerful. All right. Now, let's go on to test two. Christian discipleship begins with God, and what we've learned is that God is not an angry judge. He is a blank blank. Loving Father. God is not an angry judge. He is a loving Father. That's what we learned last time. Yeah, I tell you what, 98%, 97, 97 and a half don't know that. Most Christians that you meet, no matter what, even though they could give the right answer on a test, they actually think God is disappointed when they don't read the Bible, when they don't go to church, when they don't, love their mates, and so on and so forth. It's not true. God has never been angry at any sinner, ever. Did you hear what I just said? He's not angry at sinners. God desires not the death of any sinner. That's pretty clear. God desires not the death of any sinner. That's pretty clear. Is that not clear? He hates their sin, but he loves the sinner and forgives the sinner. Same would you do with children. Didn't I tell you not to do that? Now, I don't hate the child, I just hate the sin. So the only reason I'm saying that is to get the concept across so I can show him love. I'm going to spank you for that. If you did spank a child, it'd only be to reinforce the concept, not to change them and alter them. You see that? So the purpose of spanking is not to punish them for the sin. It's to remind them of the love. Y'all see that? This is really, PhD science, but it isn't. It should be juvenile. but because we teach silliness. We don't really teach what the Bible says. The Bible has never anywhere where God said, whosoever will may come. And then he said, what are you doing here? He never did that. If God says he desires not the death of any sinner, and someone is a sinner, he would never say, you can't come. The problem is not sin or sin. He's not even interested in sin or sin. He's interested in faith or doubt. So the reason I can have faith is because God's a loving father and not an angry judge. If he was an angry judge, I'd have to be obedient. So the reason I trust him and love him is because I don't have to be obedient or disobedient. I have to have faith or doubt. And if I have doubt, that's because I don't think he is a loving father. I think he is an angry judge, but he's not an angry judge. He is a loving father. So God is a loving father. And the only way you can know that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's study the gospel. This is why God is good. The word gospel actually means blank, blank. Good, first blank, news. So, euangelion, that's the Greek word. Euangelion. Eu means good, like eureka, E-U. Eureka, good. Okay, and news is messenger, angelos, like angel. So, good angel. So, the gospel is good angel. In other words, good messenger, someone who publishes good news. The newspaper here does not. So there's very little in there about, you know, the Girl Scouts had a cookie drive or something. Very little of that stuff. What's in there is so-and-so murdered his, you know, so-and-so. And so-and-so was corrupt and he got kicked out and so on. I don't think they kicked out corrupt people anymore. So that's out. Now, do you all understand? The gospel, what is it? It's good news. So when you read the New Testament, you read gospel. Why? Because the gospel actually can transform the Old Testament, which is full of law, God being an angry judge, into good news. I can actually take any law, you shall not commit adultery. I can change that into, you shall not commit adultery. How did I do it? Same words, I inflected it differently. Same exact words. I turned it from an imperative into an indicative by the inflection of my voice. So, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, or I'll punish you. That's an imperative. But what if I said, you shall not have any other gods before you because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Well, there it's a promise. So I can turn any law, and I do turn every law into a promise. Am I wrong to do it? No. I'm actually right because I follow that God is a loving father. He never has been, ever has been an angry judge. He cannot be. God is good. If God is good, then he's not bad. And if he is good, then the question is he the only one that's good? And the answer is, only God is good. And if that's true, then I can't be good. If he's the only one that's good, then I couldn't be good. There is none good but God. That kind of clarifies it. Do you all see that? So God is good. There's none good but God, and only God is good. It's all very clear to me. Wow. You see what good news that is? That to me is the gospel. You all see how I twisted the word of God until it became what I wanted it to be? You know why? Because you can't make God gooder than he is. He is good. Just like a parent. Just like a pastor. I'm good. Well, no, I'm not good because only God is good, so I'm not good. So how can I be good? I can't. But why am I good then? Well, I'm not. But God who's in me, he loveth you, you see? So God in me loves you. Do you see that? See how tricky I was? It's not tricky. I'm actually using the Bible. I'm just taking it literally. It's what it actually says. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? If it's no longer I that live, then I don't have to talk about me when I'm talking about me. I can talk about Christ in me when I'm talking about me because that's my new me. Faith, gospel, good. Now, did you see everything was passive on my part and everything was active on God's part? Only God is the only actor in the world. Only God is the only actor in the world. Nobody else acts. Satan doesn't act. People don't act. When you do something that's bad, you actually aren't doing anything. I just want you to know that. You didn't do anything because you don't even exist. But when you do something that's good, you didn't do that either. He did that, the one that's good. So you're not actually, I would never take you seriously. I would never take you seriously. So If Peggy says something, I never take her seriously. Never. If she says, I love you, I don't take that seriously. I know she just means in the moment. Right now I had an Excedrin. That's all that means. And if she yells at me and says, you know, I'm mad at you, I don't take that seriously. I say, oh, did you just say you love me? And I translate everything she says into love. Do y'all see that? Because Peggy's a gift of God. Why? Because God says she is. There you have it. Even if I picked her, which I'm not supposed to do, but God said he gave her to me. Did you know that the parent, God, is supposed to give away the bride to the bridegroom? That's how Jesus got us. He loves us. He's so tickled pink with us. Even though we're sinners, he just translates everything we say into the truth. Because it's the husband's job to take the burden and bless the wife. So she gets all the blessing, he takes all the burden. What a cool arrangement. And a real man would, of course, do that. He would take all the burdens. Honey, I've learned from Jesus that the man always takes the burden and the woman always gets the blessing. So relax. Tell me all the problems, all the troubles, all the debts. I'll take care of it. Because I'm a man. And he runs to Jesus and says, Jesus, help. The woman thou gavest me. She's crazy. You see that? It works. It works beautifully. This is good news. I'm making it good news, or is it good news? I'm not making it good news. I'm just telling you, this is good news. That you have a loving father for a God. That's why it says God is love in the Bible. I didn't make that up. I just read that. God is good. That is too amazing. That is amazing. Satan's not. They don't want to follow him. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's out to get me. Too bad for him. He loses every time, every time, every time. Has Satan ever won? Never. Even when he appears to have won, God let him win. Why? Because it wouldn't disturb God's purpose. For Satan to win doesn't disturb God's purpose at all. Did you know he's on a little leash, like one of those pit bulls? And the pit bull, you know, is just inches from me, but he can't actually get through the invisible fence or the chain. You know, the chain is holding me back. He wants to bite me, but he can't. Isn't that neat? Number two, Jesus came to preach the good news to those in need of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the blank to the poor. What? Number two, he has anointed me to preach the blank to the poor. Don't forget grace. Grace. Grace means mercy plus power. Don't forget. All right, number two. Jesus came to preach the good news to those who are in need of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the blank. Look at number one. Gospel. We just said the gospel is the good news. Then I just asked you the next question. Look how easy I'm making it. So if he preaches the good news, that's the same as preaching the gospel. Don't you see how good it is? It's so good. You can hardly believe it. The answer to the last question is always the one for the next question. It's so simple. It's not hard. To heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Three, the gospel is always the message of salvation through Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, who blank for us, who was blank for us, and who blank for us. Three things that Jesus did for us. What are the three things? Three things. Can anyone think of any? He died for us. Okay, so write that in the first blank. Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, who died for us, was buried for us, and who blank for us, rose. Right. So very simple. You can see here, there's a simplicity to the gospel. There it is, those three things. He died for us. He was buried for us. He rose for us. Can you get the idea that God's for us? Remember I said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I didn't say it, but I'll say it now. God before us, who can be against us? God before us. Isn't God a loving Father who's for you? And if God be for you, who can be against you? And he is for me. I mean, he's the ruler of the universe. He's the, you know, everything. Well, let's say he wants to give me the kingdom. Can Satan stop him? Can my sins stop him? Can anything stop God if he wants to give me the kingdom? Don't worry about you getting it. only asks the question, does he want to give it to me? And he knows I'm a sinner. If he knows I'm a sinner and he wants to give me the kingdom, can anyone prevent him? He wants to give it. So he will think of a way, like he said, keep the law and I'll give it to you. Ah, nobody did it. So he goes, okay, got another idea. Since you won't do it that way, I come up with another idea. Just believe in Jesus Christ and you can have the kingdom. Well, so that's the way we get in. And anybody can do that. And after that, you're on your own. That's it. He's out of options on that, you see. So if you want to work your way and be perfect, then that's how you get into heaven. But if you don't want to do that or haven't done it or don't feel like you want to do it, no problem. He's got another way. That is, believe that Jesus is good. Huh. That he loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, blah, 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 blah. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see how everything in the Bible is all good news. There's nothing in the Bible that's bad news. I smile when I read that Bible. I have never frowned. I've never done that. I read the Bible and every day I'm happy. Why? Because I don't have to do anything. What a wonderful religion. Every other religion is bad news. You know why? All the weight's on you. If you're a Buddhist, you have to remember, how to suffer and so on and so forth. If you're a Hindu, you got all those castes. You have to figure out which one you are, a Brahmin or an untouchable. If you're a Muslim, you have to pray 5 times a day and do all that junk. If you're a Catholic, you have to, Hail Mary and all that stuff. If you're a Jew, you have to keep the Torah, the law. Ours is the only good religion. I don't like all the other religions. And most Christians get it all screwed up, and they're just like Hindus, Buddhists, Satanists, whatever. Why? Because that's bad news. Putting the weight on me is wrong. How many know I'm not made for work? I don't know. It's just so natural with me that I'm lazy and a liar. But hey, let God be true and every man a liar. Do you all see that? I mean, this is so cool. This is so good. Let God be true. He's the only one I'm worried about in our relationship is whether he's faithful, not if I am. I am faithless. And he takes me on that basis. Jim, I know who you are. I remember your frame. You are dust. You see that? It's Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament and New Testament. Both the same. Both the same. All right. Blank. 4. There is no other blank given under heaven. There is no other blank given under heaven. You should know your scriptures. There is no other name given under heaven by which through faith in his blank we might be saved. The two blanks. Name. So both blanks are name. There is no other name given under heaven by which or by through whose name you are saved. You see, that's the only way to be saved is through his name. You can't be saved by your own good works. You can only be saved through his name. So his name meets his nature. Both in Hebrew and in Greek, a name is not just like a name. Like, hey, Charlie. A name is actually a description of your nature. You notice very few names. You see very few people named Satan. You just do. I mean, you just don't see that because that's not a good name. You just don't see that. And there are hardly any Adolf Hitlers anymore. I mean, you just don't see those. See, because they're kind of ruined. So most people try to name their kids something that's good. Like Alice the Brave or something. They got names that always mean something or other. I don't even know where they get all those things because they'll say something means something. But I know what my name means. Now, my name is interesting. In Hebrew, my name is Yaakov. In English, it's called Jim. But it means cheater. That's why that is not a good name. That my parents misnamed me, I'll tell you. I was never a cheater. No, I cheated all the time. So that was an excellent name. I lived up to it. I was a cheater and a thief and a liar. And thanks be unto God, he met me as a sinner and then forgave me and just said, I love you, Jim. I said, what for? And I was trying to steal even while he was talking, see if I could steal something. Got any peanuts? And I'm just a thief and a robber and a liar and an exaggerator and so on and so forth. Just natural. I'm just natural at it. And I did work at it when I was a little kid. I used to stand in front of the mirror and practice looking innocent after I've done something bad. Actually, I didn't want to look like I was cheating. It worked. I'll just tell you something. It worked. I was awesome. When I got caught for doing things, I always got away. Is that not amazing? I learned how to cry. I was good.
Oh, God, I'm so...
You know, I was good. That is otherwise called play acting. And when I went out, I was laughing because I was able to do bad and then get away with it. Has anybody ever done that? You've ever done bad and got away with it? So, if God were an angry judge, I'd have been dead. I'd have been dead. He'd have just sick Satan on me or he'd done it himself, but he didn't. He's a loving father. He said, oh, Jim is so sweet. Isn't he sweet while he's sleeping? He looks cute. When I waketh up, ay, ay, ay. All right, number five. The gospel has two parts. Okay, you have to figure out these two parts. First, that Jesus died and rose again for us as blank. And second, that Jesus now lives in us and acts through us as blank. Okay, first of all, he died for us and was buried for us and rose for us as blank. Savior. And second, he now lives in us and works through us and does a lot of other things as blank. Lord. So Jesus is two things, Savior and Lord. It's actually more than that, but those two are the two main things. So he's your Savior. That means he did it all. And then he's your Lord. That means he changes you. If any change is ever going to take place, you're not going to do it. He's going to do it. Does that make sense? And the change he's going to affect in you is not to change your behavior. The change he's going to affect in you is kill you. That is the best way to work with people. Kill them. Because then there's no resistance. Has anybody ever noticed that? That dead people never resist. If you go up to a dead person, you say, you're stupid. They do not, they don't even say anything. They don't even respond. Has anybody ever noticed that? So that's the best kind of friend to have. Because you can't offend them. I tell you, just dead people do not respond. Now, if we be dead to sin, if we be dead, then we're alive to God. Because God doesn't want us to be alive doing our own thing. He actually wants us to have done everything so that you just relax, just rest, just receive, just take. So how many of you are takers? You see, most people want to think of themselves as givers, but you're actually a taker. Because he's given everything. He's the giver. You're not the giver. You're the taker. So he loves it when you take. It'd just be having a party and then give them some ice cream and they go, I don't want any. I haven't earned that. It's a party. Just take it. It's Sally's birthday today. Just take it. I don't want it. I don't deserve that. That wouldn't make any sense. So just, Sally wants you to eat it. You eat that, and just, you're going to eat it. Everybody's going to be happy here at Sally's party. No, God, that's not true. But God just has good things. He only has good things because he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's the only one that's good. No one else is good. He's good. Six, the scripture says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the blank of God unto salvation that everyone that believes, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, it is written the just shall live by faith. So, what is it? It is the power of God. Dunamis. The Greek word dunamis is where we get the word, the English word, dunamis. Dynamite. So dunamis means power. So dynamite is just a Greek word, dunamis. So to have power means to have capacity to do something. So what does the dynamite do? It gives me the capacity to get behind this blockage to get to that which is valuable. So when God gives you dynamite, that is the power to whatever. To, let's say, to be holy. I don't have any power to be holy. I'm by nature not. Therefore, I need some power. If I'm going to be holy, I need some power. So God just comes along, hands me the stick of dynamite and says, hold this. Now I have some capacity. Why? Because he just eliminated me. There was the problem. You see, the problem wasn't the coal. The problem was me. Moi. You all see that? And that's how you make a good, marriage or anything. You just blow the other person up till they don't exist. Then there's no resistance. I mean, Peggy's totally like that. If I say something, honey, we're going to do this, or honey, could you be quiet right now? She just obeys it once. And if not, I just hand her a stick of dynamite. Thank you. Very good. Now you see how I'm the head of the house. Do you see that? It works beautifully. But I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I told her, Peggy, just speak right up. Just don't just always go along with what I say. Say your own opinion. Give your own ideas. Maybe you have some other idea. No, anything you say is okay. What a sweet wife you are. But you know, in case you have another view. And then one day she took me up on it and started talking. Now I can't stop her. She just keeps going. So you see, I was a fool. I should never have taught her that. Never. Should never have taught her that. As Savior, 7, my personal Savior, 2, we read, but for us also to whom righteousness shall be imputed, if we believe on him, God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our blank. These are all scriptures. If you don't know your scripture, of course, you couldn't answer any of these questions. But because you know your scriptures, right, you know all these answers. So what was he delivered for? Our sins. And then what was he raised for? So he died for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. Just, meaning right, made right, ification. So the process of becoming right with God is simple. How do you do it? So Peggy and I are one. We're justified. The reason our children never rebelled, ever. And if they did, we spanked them. But if they never rebelled. And the reason they never rebelled is because they were right with us. Right? Because we just told them, be quiet. Don't talk. Do what we say. Ah, see, there it is. Now they were right with us. But as they grew up, we taught them, look, don't worry about what you've done. I love you unconditionally. There were better children after that. Do you all see that? At first, when they're little, they don't know any better. So you just tell them, you do that one more time, I'll spank you. And then they don't do it. See, but that only works with little kids. As soon as they're 11, it doesn't work. It could even be 8. It could even be 3. It doesn't take long for kids to rebel. Have you ever noticed a little 2-year-old going like this? No. I don't know how they learned that. Where did they get that word? No. And somehow they know how not only to say it, but they know how to say it with emphasis. No. You're going to bed right now. No. I don't know where they learned that. You know, how did you learn to say that? I'm going to spank you. I don't care. I love it. So little kids learned all that. So you have to teach them the gospel. This is who you are. In this family, we love one another, and we go to bed when our father says so. You all see that? So after a while, people catch on. So we're not mad at you for disobeying. We want you to know we love you. And in this family, love looks like doing what we say. And if you don't do it voluntarily, we will spank you to remind you that that's who you are. Y'all don't see that. It's very clever. And children love that. They do not mind it because they know that a spanking is actually for my good. Did you know that sometimes you're so stubborn that you need a spanking? Y'all know that. Now, if I were a real pastor, I would say hard things to you and then you would just obey. But because I'm not, I go easy on you. You see that? But if I really loved you, a father that loves his son chastens him. That's why we're here. You are the only group in the whole church. You're the only ones that want to be disciplined, that want, please, Pastor, tell us what's wrong so we can come before God and let him change it. You see that? Because you have the concept now. I think I'm a Christian. I think he's forgiven me, but I think I need to change. But you can't. Only he can change you. No one can change you against your will. So somebody has to break your will. But how is your will broken? By love. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's not the madness of God or the evil of God or the spankings of God. That is not how Moses, when Moses points the finger, says, do that and die. Does anyone obey him? They might outwardly, but not from the heart. So that's why the Jewish problem is it's a real problem. For Jewish people, they want to keep the law, they say. But whenever they're given the law, listen to the law, be perfect as God is perfect. You can't do it. Who can be perfect like God's perfect? You never know when he's going to be this way or that way. You see what I'm saying? I mean, what if God wants to keep you under the law and then kill you? The law of sin and death. You sin, you die. Well, he could do that. How do we know he could do that? Because that's his law. Eat of that tree and you'll die. They did, and He didn't. He postponed it. That was showing that he was merciful. But what if God reserved for himself the right behind his back and you couldn't see it? I have the right to forgive any sinner at any time. So even though I said, eat of this tree and die, I could also say, I changed my mind, I'm not going to do that. Mercy. That's how I raised my kids. I taught them, you do wrong, you get spanked. But then I also taught them, if you do wrong, you can always say, Dad, forgive me, have mercy, and then I won't spank you. Did I teach my kids the right way? I did. Because they never knew which one I was going to do. But they always had the right to ask me, Dad, don't forget you love me. don't forget what you teach. You teach that, you know, that you love me. And so my kids always had the right to defend themselves. When I would say, your mother said you rolled your eyes, so I'm going to have to spank you. Dad, we didn't. We didn't roll our eyes. We just went like this. But that wasn't rolling. And I usually then agreed with them. I said, Mom, they didn't roll their eyes. They just went like this. Because kids are smart. Are they not smart? No, it wasn't an actual roll. Did you come to a complete stop? You know, kids are good. And I let them get away with that. Why? Because I wasn't teaching them how to obey. I was teaching them how to know that God loved them. Isn't that interesting? So the bed got spanked often, but not the child. Because my interest was not obedience. My interest was the gospel. What I was trying to show them is we love you unconditionally no matter what. Even if you do the worst thing and do the most horrible thing, I don't care. I love you anyway. Just like God loves us, so we love you. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? But otherwise, you know what children will do if you put too many laws on them? They will actually rebel to find out whether they're loved or not. So we did that early when they were little. That way they got the concept right away. David was the best. My son David, he was very good. Dad, before you do that. David, I haven't spanked you yet.
I know, but just before you did, I want you to know I don't even need the spanking because I've already learned my lesson and I'll never do it again, I swear.
David.
I believe you, son.
And he was good. David was good. He should have been an actor. He really should have been. He was good. And Mom could see right through him, but not me. I showed him mercy. Because I thought, well, Dave, you know, since you promised that the last four times and didn't do it, I'm going to have to spank you this time just to teach you the concept.
Dad, I know I need it. But could you just show me mercy one more time? I swear I won't do it again. I mean it.
That's good. Now, see, you all would think I failed as a parent, but actually it was very good because I was only trying to get the concept across. If you ever raise children, you always have to get the concept across 50, 100, 1,000 times before they actually think of doing it. But concepts are important. And if you would tell a child, okay, just do what you want, they would be completely thrown off because they expect you to spank them. They think you're going to punish them for doing it. It's inside of them. Inside of you is a little law. Even if there wasn't a law on the outside, there'd be one on the inside that says, I did wrong. For example, go back in the nursery and then you go back there to see if one child is biting the other child's arm. And the child who's bitten will say, that is complete injustice. And they bite right back. Why? Because everybody knows there's such a thing as justice. Even the worst. Are you aware of that? You can go to prison, and you can find, if you go against Bubba, you can find out, Bubba don't like that. And Bubba will punish you. Now here they are, criminals, but they punish one another. Isn't that interesting? So there's justice everywhere. Everybody knows it's written on the inside of you. Don't mess with Bubba. You don't, you know, and then kids will always want to find that out. Now, wait a minute. Who's the parent here? Dad or Mom? Or my older sister? Or who's over her? Because they don't want to be ruled by the wrong boss. So they're trying to figure out, now is Mom the real boss and she can spank me? Or is Dad the real boss? You all see how clever kids are. And all I'm trying to get down is the concept, who's my ultimate authority? Does that make sense? So who's your boss? Who's boss over you? Me. That's a good one. Me. I'm self-governing. And I know just how to do it. And everyone will just do what I say. You'll find out the world works better. And you can punish people then for not doing what is right for them, which you know and they don't. I'm just saying this for your good. Has anybody ever said that? Look, I'm just doing this for your good. My father used to spank me, and he would always say that. Jim, I'm spanking you because I love you, and this is for your good. Did I believe him? Never. I never believed that. How is it that this is for my good? But he felt, you know, I was too strong in myself, and he wanted to break me. Do y'all see that? And by the time I finished high school, I realized, you know, he was right. He was right. I was too strong for myself. Has anybody ever discovered that you are too strong all on your own and you're not self-governing? You're self-destructive? Anybody? Yes. Yeah. When you get your own way, it's not always good. So God is the only, he wrote that in your heart, so you don't have to tell people. It's like, you apparently don't know what's right and wrong. No, they actually know. Well, you know, you wouldn't deliberately do it. Yeah, they actually would. So you don't teach kids the law. They all know the law. All you do is either reinforce it or show them mercy. So a child that is loved will actually obey without even a command. I'll say it again. A child that's loved, that knows they're unconditionally loved, will actually obey even without the command. Okay, you're cooking the supper and the little kid is watching you, following you. Any little kid will do this. And they want to do what you're doing. But let's say they're two and they can walk. So at 2 years old, they see you carrying a dish, you know, to the table. And they see you doing that. So they notice there's a few dishes on the sink. And they pull one down, break it, of course. And it's your finest china. What all they're trying to do is help. You see, they were wanting to do what mom did. And they didn't notice that breaking it mattered. They're just trying to help you. So a lot of parents get mad at that point. But actually, that little child is just doing what's natural, which is, because I'm loved around here, you know, I'm just going to help out. They want to do it. So your children only rebel when they think they're not happy because someone is oppressing them. But what if they thought you loved them? They wouldn't go against you. Do you know that I could have a bad teacher in one class and I would act up? In another class, I respected the teacher and I did what you're supposed to do. Same kid, just goes from one class to another. Because I respect that teacher, I do what they want. If I don't respect that teacher, I do something else. 8. As Lord, my personal Lord, we read, and he, Jesus, shall baptize you, all who are saved, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The blank is Holy Spirit. Do y'all see that? That was mercy. That was mercy. I just gave you that one. It was mercy. 9. In his death, maybe you didn't notice the fire. It would have been good if I had just put with the Holy Spirit and with blank. Because most people don't know that when you get the Holy Spirit, you get the fire. So what is fire? The same fire that destroys your sin also purifies your spirit. So fire is good, but it depends. It's relative. To the flesh, it's bad. But to the spirit, it's good. So if the fire burns out the dross, that's good for the gold, but bad for the dross. Do y'all see that? So fire is relative. But when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're also baptized with fire. They leave that off usually. You know, forget about that. I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, so speaking in tongues and, you know, laughing and singing happy songs. Yeah, but there's a fire too. There's discipline. That's what we're doing tonight, is the discipleship, that you need fire also. A loving father chastens the son that he loves. So I told you why you chasten. You don't chasten to punish them for their sin. You chasten them because you love them unconditionally and want to help them to get rid of what they couldn't naturally get rid of, which is their evil nature. You want them to know that you've already forgiven that, and now you're just helping them to walk in love. 9. In his death, our sins are against God are what? In his death, our sins against God are blank. Forgiven. In his burial, our confidence in the flesh is blank, destroyed, and removed out of sight. In his resurrection, remember those three parts that we had read above, our hope of righteousness before God is blank, restored. All right. Forgiven, destroyed, restored. So death, that's where my sins are forgiven. He died, so my sins are forgiven. Burial, that means my confidence in the flesh has been totally destroyed. I don't have any more confidence in my flesh. And resurrection, that means my righteousness before God has been completely restored. Restored to what? What I used to be? No. Restored to his original intention for what I used to be when he first created me. See the difference? You're not going to go back and be like Adam. Adam is not what you want to be restored to. You want to go back and be like God intended you when he created you, and Adam didn't do it. Well, you say, what about Adam before he sinned? Yeah, but he still had the ability to sin again. So you don't want that. What you want is to have Jesus, not Adam. Is that powerful? In other words, God always intended, he always intended for you, he always intended for you to go ahead and sin. He intended it. He knew you would. Remember, he said, don't. And then everybody did. And he put the tree right there so you could see it every day and said, don't. But when you give a don't like that, when you say don't do it, when you give a command, you know what every child's going to do? They're going to do it. Even if they don't do it outwardly, they do it inwardly. But usually they do it outwardly. Little kids are curious. Why can't I touch that figurine on the coffee table? That's Aunt Lily's, you know, figurine that she got from her grandmother. And as soon as you leave the room, that little three-year-old's going to go over and look at that figurine real close. Do not touch that, they say to themselves. That's Aunt Lily's grandmother's gift to her, handed down through the generations, whatever that means. I'm not going to touch it. What I'm going to do is just get real close to it and examine it. And you're out of the room. And they look around, make sure you're not there. And pretty soon, you've got it in your mouth. And that little kid is not touching it. They're just curious. And the way that they put it in their little chemistry set to find out what it is, they stick everything in their mouth, bugs, dirt, anything. That little figurine is just so interesting to them. And if you walked in that moment, it would drop out and break. So you got to be really careful with little kids. When you tell them not to do something, they might do it. Because they're curious. They're not meaning to hurt anything or do anything, but they're also disobeying you. Why? Because they just want to. And their want to is greater than your command not to. I don't want you to touch that. Do you understand? But still, there's something in them that says, go close to it, look at it. Remember they said, don't eat of this tree lest you die. So Eve said, you're not supposed to eat of it or touch it. Then she added the little thing, touch. Said, you can't even touch it. You can look at it, but you can't eat it. But you can't even touch it. And don't even get close to it. That's religion. How many know that is what religion does? God will say, don't eat of it, and you'll interpret that as you're not even supposed to look at it. You're not even supposed to want it. Don't even imagine it. He put it right there. He put the tree right there, so every day they'd walk by it. Said, now don't ever touch that tree. And they're walking by every day. Don't touch it, you know. But it's not going to be long before that child will disobey. Why? You know why? So that you will eat it, and when you do eat it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to need mercy, so you're going to cry out to God and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. This is how you learn. Eating it didn't work. Like, I thought that tree was better than all the other trees. Remember, you can eat of all the trees of the garden except this one. That's a bad law. What's wrong with this tree? Looks good to me. And because the tree looked good, they decided, let's eat it. And of course, it wasn't Adam, it was Eve. You all know that. I mean, that was a woman that did that. Us guys would never have done that. No way. But when Adam came along and she offered it to him, he just ate it. He didn't even think about it. He didn't even need a devil to tempt him. He just went, hey, that was good. You're not even dead. But remember, he said, in the day you eat of it. So they had to wait 24 hours to see if it took. But of course, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So how long did Adam live? How much? Less than 1,000, yes. When did he die? 930 years. Who was the oldest man recorded in the Bible? Methuselah. How long did he live? 969. This is as far as he could get. 31 short. the guy right up to the last minute. You know why he died? Do you know why Methuselah died? He died the moment of the flood. Just before the flood, they had a little funeral service. Immediately there was a flood. The minute he died, then the flood said, I'm going to wipe out all those people that are living 900 year kind of thing. Takes too long to watch something happen that I already know is going to happen. Let's just start down to 120. And after that, you could only live 120 years. But of course, Abraham lived 175. A little cool there. Because he was a faith man. Love faith. Do y'all see? Now, next one.
Our hope of righteousness.
Yes.
You
don't have any hope of righteousness as a natural person, because the only thing you can do is express sin or suppress sin. A natural person can only do two things. Two. Only two. You can either do this or do that. The this is, I can express my sin. I hate you. Or I can suppress it. Hi, I love you. I lied. So there's the only two things you can do, is either be a liar or tell the truth. If you tell the truth, then you expressed. If you didn't, then you suppressed. So, you can be a hypocrite or just be honest. So those two things are your only options. But Jesus comes along and says, I don't want your obedience or disobedience, because you can't obey ever from the heart. Even when you suppressed, it wasn't from the heart. And even when you expressed, that wasn't from your heart either. Oh, that was a bad heart, so I'll give you a new heart. So when you believe in Jesus, you get a new heart. Now, your new heart loves God, because he first loved us, we love. Your new heart loves God. And your new heart wants to do the right thing. But you have this other want in you also, the old want. So which one's going to win? Which one's going to win? Which one's going to win? The new man? Does it work that way? I know a lot of people that are born again and they're still nasty. Not here. I don't mean here. I'm talking about Methodists. Okay. So just having a new heart does not guarantee that you'll have a new will and a new emotion and a new thought. You may still not be discipled. You have to be discipled. That's why he said Holy Spirit and fire. Because you have to have that fire go through you, and you have to willingly do it. He won't force you. He won't say, okay, I'm going to force you to be a Christian. He won't do it. Even though you have a new heart, you don't have a new soul, I'll just kill you. He cannot kill you unless you agree. You have to agree. You have to say, God, I want it. I know I need it. I can't do this without you doing it. Do it. Now, if you don't, if you resist, even inwardly, he won't do it. Now, God, whatever it takes, I mean it. Yeah, but he knows you're lying. He figures out you just said that because it's a spiritual thing to say. It's politically correct. You know, the guy's just saying that. So God will not do anything unless you're willing. So how many of you are willing to have God get all the sin out of your life? Yahoo! You know what? That's a miracle. Most Christians do not. And you know why? I don't blame them. Most Christians are not in a church where anyone else is sanctified either. So why should I be first? You know, I'm not going to be first. I mean, that would be, you know, who wants to be? So if you can get into heaven just by being justified, let's go that way. The other's extra credit. I don't want that. But what if it is an extra credit? What if it's just part of the normal thing of every man mature in Christ? Remember Paul said that? Every man mature in Christ. That would mean justified, sanctified, glorified. So that would be three stages. So I want to go all the way. I won't go through the second one, which is suffering, unless I want to get to the third one, which is glory. Yes. Yes. It's the part that's going to kill you. Yeah. Amen. Because non-killing you doesn't produce happiness. I can just tell you right now, people that just do whatever they want are not happy. How do I know that? I did it. I did that. I held out for just being, let Jesus forgive me and I'll sin. I'll sin like hell all the way to heaven. And then he has to forgive me because that's his deal. Well, I found out that's not a good one. I found out after a while that sinning does not bring happiness. Anybody else ever found that out? And if it did, I would be happy. I would have been radiant. And he asked me one day, he said, Jim, how's that going? You believing on me but still sinning all you want. Good, good, I said. And then I thought about it. Why'd you ask? And then I thought, you know what? It isn't good. I'm really not happy. But I didn't know that until he asked me the question. I was on 820. I know exactly what I was when he asked that. How's that working? Good, good, real good. I get to sin all I want. You're going to take me to heaven anyway? Beautiful. You get to forgive. I get to sin. Beautiful. Good arrangement. And then he said, is that working out? Actually, no. So you're not happy. Yeah, I guess I'm not. No, I'm not. What would make you happy? What haven't I done for you? No, I guess you've done everything. It's just, I just like sinning, I guess. But it's not making you happy. No. So would you like to just submit yourself to me today and let me be your Lord? No. Why not? Since you're not happy. I don't know. That's a good question. That's a great question. I just don't know. And so that blew me away. And he said, since you're not happy, answer this. What is it that would make you happy? What haven't I done that needs to be done so that you would be happy? I don't know. You know. You're God. Why ask me? And all of a sudden, the answer popped into my head. This was weird. I guarantee you, I never thought this thought. I remembered, it just came out of me. I want to be like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those guys in the Bible. You know, just I want to be just like them. Oh, no. Here's how he asked it, because he saw I was stumped. He said, if you died today and we wrote something on your tombstone, what would it be? He believed in Jesus, but he lived like hell. You know, something like that. And those, I knew I wasn't a very good Christian, but I did believe in Jesus. You know, so that should be enough right there. And I realized then there's something wrong with that. He believed in Jesus. I could see there was no effect on anybody else. Why write it on your tombstone? Since, you know, I just hoped I got in somehow. Because I knew I was not a good Christian. I was not a good husband. I was not a good pastor. I was not a good anything. I was just sinning. I just sinned like I always used to sin. It's only now I got forgiven for it. So I just kind of took advantage of the thing. By the skin of his teeth. Yeah, right. And so at that moment he said, do you want then to just submit to me? No, I don't. I don't. I like doing it. I know it's not good. It doesn't even make sense now. It doesn't even make sense to me. I'm not happy. So why not submit to me? I don't know. And in that moment, I decided, okay. From now on, I'm going to submit to you. Because really, what has it gotten me? You're right. I'm not happy. Doing all my own thing, I can do anything I want to do at any time. I hide it from most people because most people wouldn't put up with it. But I love sinning. I mean, I actually like it. And I know it's wrong, and I just do it anyway. But it didn't lead to happiness. That is so clear to me. That is true. I mean, it never dawned on me until you asked me the question. Okay, all right. What does it hurt then? I've lived for 30-some years or whatever it's been and have gotten nowhere. What would hurt if I just went, you know, a number of years trying your deal, see if that worked? I mean, it won't hurt anything. I can always switch back. Can I not switch back? Do I have an option on that? You know, I think I'm just going to go for it and then see where that leads me, because I never knew where it was going to lead me. And here I am today. Such a blessing. Do y'all see it? So God was right. And I gave God permission then to get me. Do whatever you want to do. Because I know I need help. I know I'm way too strong. 9. I did that. 10. The gospel of the kingdom means preaching, declaring, and publishing the good news of God's free salvation available to all men everywhere, which has now come into this world, both for our blank, imputed righteousness, and for our blank, actual righteousness. What are the two blanks? What's imputed righteousness? Justification. What's actual righteousness, that he actually works that in you? Sanctification. There it is. That is because you're dead. You see, what makes you actually righteous is when you're dead. You are such a blessing when you are not running the show. As long as you're trying to be Lord, it's real hard for him to be Lord. Jim, I said, stop. I know. I will. I mean, now. I'm going to. I mean, right now. You see, so if I'm Lord, he can't be Lord, because I just didn't feel like it when he said it. Come in, Jack, you know, and then Jack will stay out and play, because he just didn't feel like it. I mean, Peggy does it all the time. Jim, it's supper. I know, I'm coming. But I'm not. I just want to finish up this paragraph. And then 2 pages later, okay, I'm in. Okay, it's all gone. Peggy is mean. I mean, she is. I mean, that is wrong. She has no gospel in her at all. I fed it to the cat already. It's gone. But it doesn't really help. It doesn't help. Okay. Imputed is justification. Actual is sanctification. 11. We can break down the first half of the gospel into three parts, which makes up our blank righteousness. We can break down the first half of the gospel. Remember, Savior and Lord? We can break it up into three parts, which make up our imputed righteousness. Okay? What is that called? Oh, I said it. Imputed. Imputed righteousness. Sorry about that. The first part is that Christ blanked for our sins, died. The second part, 13, is that Christ was blank for me, buried. The third part is that Christ blank for me, rose. 15, the second half of the gospel, this is the Lord part, can also be broken down into two major parts, which work to create my blank righteousness. Not imputed, but actual. Actual righteousness. 16. The first part of the second part, the first part is that the blank Holy Spirit creates blank holy blank inside of me. The first part is that the blank Holy Spirit creates holy blank inside of me. The first part is that the indwelling Holy Spirit creates holy character inside of me. How does he do that? By killing me, crucifying my flesh. That's how he does that. So that's the first part of the second part. In other words, as Lord, he wants not imputed righteousness, which you get as Savior, but actual. Christ died for me, buried for me, rose for me. Now he's going to actually work it in me really, 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 so that I'm actually free. And I know it. And after you get that, I remember when I began to actually do right, first time in my life, I was amazed how it was good. I remember when I'd never said to my wife, forgive me. Never had said that. I'd never thought there was anything to forgive. And even if there was, I would never have done it anyway, because I never wanted to say I was sorry or I was wrong. I always wanted to justify anything I did. You did such and such. I know, but the reason I did that was, and I always had a reason for everything I did. Do you see how it's a reasonable person? I always could justify and figure out some reason for what I had to do. Well, I had to do that because you did that. You know, whatever. I could make up anything. I was so gifted at that. I had a gift. I had the gift of making up things, even though they were total lies. I could always justify. Did you know you can justify any sin? And I was very good at it. I mean, I didn't even have to even work at it. Something would just pop into my head. Well, that's because you did such and such. You know, I could just always throw it back on her. Or on circumstances. Well, it's a hard day. You know, I could just think of anything. Well, Satan just, you know, whatever. I could always justify as, you know, I didn't just deliberately go out and do something stupid, but I did. Character. In other words, that's your inside, that's your soul. The second part of the second part is that the Holy Spirit creates blank, blank in my outer behavior. Good works, right? So now I have the holy character, which produces holy conduct or good works. Good works. Remember, the Bible says they'll know you by your works. They'll know you by your love. They'll know you by the outer. They don't know anything about your heart. They don't see your heart. That's deep inside. They don't even see your soul. They don't know what you're thinking, feeling, and wanting unless you express it. They only see your outer. So how are they going to know you're Christians except by your love? If they see your love, not if they see your talk. It doesn't do anything. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Yeah, but you also are a scoundrel. You sell used cars and you cheat. So you cannot tell that the guy's a Christian just because he says he's a Christian. You have to go by their works. Well, okay, you just cheated me on that car. That was, you know, blah, blah, blah. And people are that way all the time. Amen? Not this church, but I mean other churches are like that. Yeah. Right. Yes, it is. 10. Third base. Yes. Obedience is good works. Because you're actually obeying. You really are doing it. I really do. But we're doing it out of love. I want to do it. I want to love Peggy. But it's Christ in me. I mean, I'm not fooling myself that that's me. That's me being dead because I got dead long before I got to third base. And because I got dead, because I trusted him, and because I was happy at first base, and then I began to get renewed in character on the second base, and then by the time I did the outer work, it was because, you know, he had guided me and all that stuff.
I was thinking that
because it was a testing
year, number 11.
Yes, that's...
But is that guidance?
Right. Guidance brings you to that. Okay. Now, I'm the teacher. Yes. Yes.
Say the first part of the second half.
Well, I just said that.
But is that correct?
Yes.
It's not.
If I say it, it's correct.
Well, I didn't hear you say it.
Okay, I did. Well, I didn't say it, but I meant it. 18. Stated simply, this is for Peg. Stated simply, we are saved by God's blank through blank. Correct. You're good. That is good. You're going to heaven. Definitely. He's going to heaven. That guy's good. Do you have my answer sheet there? Did he cheat on yours, Jonathan? Amen. All right. We are saved by God's grace through faith. Grace is always mercy plus power. That's why we have faith in it. He's first of all merciful to forgive you, and then he's powerful to change you. Same thing as Savior and Lord. In the atoning blood of Jesus on Calvary, that's the Savior, which blood is able to cover our sins, oh, sorry, I gave you that one, and to blank us to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Restore. Correct. Okay, so he not only covers our sins, Savior, his blood covers our sins, but he also restores us to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's different. He forgave me, but now I actually have a new relationship with God based on that forgiveness, so that we can be made entirely blank, soul and body, as well as spirit. So spirit, soul, and body. I can be blank, spirit, soul, and body, by his continual indwelling, blank and blank, in us and through us. So the word is, holy. So, we can be made entirely holy, spirit, soul, and body, by his continual indwelling presence and power in us and through us. So, the presence, God's presence is what changes you, not his blood. The blood doesn't change you. The blood does not change you, actually. The blood imputes to you because it says, I'll do it. So it's imputed because it's on the Lamb. Jesus, when Jesus dies for you, you didn't have anything to do with that. That's why it's imputed to you, because you believed in him. God imputes it to you and says, okay, I call that righteous. Because even though you weren't righteous, you believed in him who was righteous, that he was righteous for you. And since you believed in that, I call you righteous. You're right with me because you believe that he was right for you. Does that make sense? So because I believed in that, I didn't do anything. I was passive. Then he imputed it to me, but it's still not actual. But then he's not only indwelling me through his presence, but he has actually present with power. And the power, the dynamite, is what changes me. As I look at him loving me, I become changed. What you're looking at changes you. If you hang around with people that are on dope, pretty soon you will be tempted to do that, unless you're the brighter light, because this is the people you're hanging around with. So whatever you're beholding or looking at or meditating upon or chewing on or thinking on, that's what you're going to become. You hear swearing all the time, you'll start to swear. So whatever your environment is, so the more you look at Jesus' love, pretty soon you'll become loving. The more you look at his forgiveness, you'll become forgiving. And when Jesus forgave me for so many sins, it was easy for me to forgive Peggy. I mean, the first time it wasn't. The first time it was death to me. You know, I mean, it was hard. I walked around the corner and God said, Jim, go say you're sorry to your wife. No. Jim, I said, go say you're sorry to your wife. You're a new creation right now. I know, but I don't want to. She'll hold that over me. You know, she'll use that. I do want to say I'm sorry. Jim, do what I say. Right now, that's who you are. I don't think that's who I am. And so I went down the hall and I said to God, while I was walking down the hall, God, you know I'm going to make a joke or something because I can't just say it right flat like that. I can't say I'm wrong. Say it. Okay, I'm going to say it, but I don't want to say it. But I will say it because you said I should say it. So by the time I walked around the corner, I knew I had to do it real quick or I'd start laughing or something because I didn't want to say it. Peg, you were completely right. I was completely wrong. You were right. I'm sorry. And then I walked away. I went as fast as I could. It was the first time I ever did that. And it killed me to say that. I was killed. I mean, I hated saying that. But as I walked down the hall, I thought, good boy. You did good. That was good. That was the first time I ever did anything decent in my life. You know, that's good. I'm serious. I mean, that changed my life. It's like, wow, I never said that in my life. And I realized there's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't even painful. It was painful for about 3 seconds. I mean, and then it wasn't. As soon as I got into the hallway and I was walking back. Do y'all understand that? When you obey God, it turns out to be a good thing. He's smart. I don't know why. He's smart. And he told me that's who I was, not what I ought to be, but who I was. Okay, well, if that's who I am, then that's who I am. Well, that is who we am. Okay, well, then I am. So I'll go down and do it. But it was a killer, because to not be the me I thought I was and to be the me he said I was, that killed me. I was no longer me in charge of me. Now he was in charge of me. Christ in me, that was my new me. I wasn't any Jim in me Jim. I was now Christ in me Jim. That was a different kind of Jim. Totally new. Killer. That was a killer. The reason for the first part of the gospel is the mercy of God. Mercy is the blank. Is so that we can receive the second part of the gospel, the power of God for a holy life. So the mercy of God is for the power of God. Mercy first, power second. You see that? Unless you receive the mercy, you're not going to get the power. Remember what I said grace is? Grace is mercy plus power. First is always mercy. I forgive you for being bad. Second is power, I'm going to change you to good. Okay, that he actually did that. That was actual. He didn't just say, mercy, that forgave me, so I was imputed to be righteous, but I still wasn't actually, truly, honestly righteous. It wasn't in my soul and it wasn't in my life, conduct. 20. Jesus Christ only becomes our Lord through the power of the indwelling blank blank, Holy Spirit. 21. The Holy Spirit blank the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for me on Calvary. The Holy Spirit executes the salvation that Jesus Christ won for me on Calvary. In other words, it doesn't just impute it, now he actually executes it, makes it happen. Simply put, the gospel is first, Jesus Christ for me, second, Jesus Christ through me. So, there it is. Thus, we see the two parts of the gospel, each having two subparts. First, that Jesus died for our sins, then he rose again for our justification as Savior. Second, that Jesus ascended into heaven, then returned to each of us through the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit to live in us for the purifying of our inner character, and so that he can act through us for the purifying of our outer behavior. Four blanks, died, rose, in, through. 24. The powerful message of the good news is that Jesus Christ does both parts of the gospel. Both parts of the gospel. So that it's not up to us to blanket. Do it. Perform it. It's not up to us to perform it. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it. 25. However, I am able to hear the good news that Jesus Christ has completed my blank justification and by his Spirit will finish me in the work of blank. Sanctification. Only after I have heard the bad news of the blank that in me dwells no good thing. What is the bad news that I'm hearing inside of me? Law. Law. L-A-W. W. So the bad news comes from the law. The law does not tell me to do good that I can do. The law tells me to do good that I cannot do. So that's bad news. It said, Jim, be perfect. No, I can't. I can't be like you. You're God. I'm not. I'm made out of dirt, flesh. How can I do what you do? It's too much. Stop it. Don't make me do it. I can't. I'm just a little kid. So you're going to complain and gripe. I tell you, nobody's going to like this law thing. We're just not made for law. There's not a little kid on earth that wants to do, you know, they just don't want to. Sooner or later, you're going to find out they don't want to. Don't want to. Don't want to. Don't want to. So, you know, little kids just don't want to. And if you spank them, of course, they'll kind of do it outwardly, but it won't be inward. It won't be inward. You have to beat them many, many times just to get the concept across. I will beat you until you get this. That's the concept. You're not punishing them. What you're doing is blessing them. Yes. That's good.
If we're offered grace,
right.
We'll take a piece of the law
instead. Yes. What he just said is so profound. He said that we actually find ourselves not wanting the grace, but we actually go back to the law. Even when we hear the grace, it's like it's too much. It's too good. It's all, too good to be true. I don't think he could really be that good. I don't think he gave the law so we wouldn't do it. I think he gave the law so we would do it. No, he didn't. You show me any scripture that shows that he meant for you to do it. He did not. He gave the law as a schoolmaster, which would teach you what you couldn't do so that then he could give it to you. It was just a schoolmaster. That's all. He gave you the law not to keep it, but so Jesus Christ would keep it for you, and then he would just give you the grace. Well, we knew it. I mean, the minute he said, be like me, that was over. It'd be like telling a little kid, do trig. You know, it's like, I don't even know what that is. You know, because little kids are just overwhelmed by their parents. They're in awe of their parents. You're so big. You're walking. You say words. And little kids, did you ever see little babies? Little babies will say words. As though they're talking. You know, they'll just do it. Because they're talking just like you. I held a little baby, 3 months old, this morning in the Dallas church. And as I was holding the little child, it was sitting there as human as could be. You know. They're just saying stuff. And you could tell they were looking right at you like they were talking. Because they heard someone else talking. And they wasn't just giving gas off. You know, it was real. Then that little kid was communicating, as happy as can be. I was all, you know, trying to hold her up, you know, trying to be so it would be comfortable. But she was totally content, laying back. That's great. You don't have any fun. This is fun. All right, almost done. And where am I? 26? Really? Am I that far? Wow, am I fast? The true gospel is difficult to receive today for the church because it has heard the blank instead of the good news for almost 2,000 years. Okay, do you know the church today, and I don't blame any church for this, it's just a description. Most churches today aren't good news. They don't even have the good news. Why? Because they're still under the law. And even though they say good news, they're going to practice the law. They're going to put law on you. It's just natural for mankind to always go to the law. Why? Because it's written on the inside of you. But that law you cannot keep. The law doesn't say do the best you can. The law says be perfect like God is. Too big, too hard, can't do it. And God did that deliberately so you'd say that. Help! Forgive me! Help me! Please, Mom, I can't put these toys away. It's too many. You put them away or you're not going out to play. You put them away. Now, you don't go outside until you're done with this. And then they will throw a few things, move a few things, then go out and play. And you, John, what are you doing? I'm playing. I told you to clean your room first. I did. Then you go back in the room and it's total chaos. And you go, what? You call this clean? Yeah, the blanket was over here. Now it's over there. And the toy was over here. And I threw it near the box over there. I did. I cleaned it. I mean, it isn't like I did nothing, you know. So for the little kid, that was enough, you see, because they didn't care about the room clean. They cared. So then they'll say something like this. We say, I'm going to spank you then because you did wrong. Mom, please, I'm sorry, but could you do it for me so I can play Alice is outside waiting for me? And a good parent will say, it's all right, sweetie. You go out and play, but next time you clean this room. I'll show you how later. So then you clean it for them, and you do it, and you show them how. Here's how you put it in the box, and so on and so forth. And after a while, they'll catch on, maybe a year or so. They will have that down. But you're going to have to show not only mercy to forgive them, but you're going to actually show them help. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of Jesus. Jesus is the mercy. Holy Spirit's the power. Last one on that page. The only reason God gave the law is not so that we would obey it in the flesh, but so that our sin would be exposed. That's why he gave the law. We would then acknowledge our wickedness, impotency, and turn to Christ for mercy and power. Often a believer's failure to grow, 28, is the result of meditating on the law instead of on the gospel. Legalistic Christianity is the blank, the old man, attempting to clean up the flesh. So, legalistic Christianity is the flesh, attempting to clean up the flesh. But God requires death and burial for the old man. 30. So then, each disciple needs not only to receive forgiveness for sins, but also to fully realize his own death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ, not based on any psychology of his own soul, but simply by faith in the Word of God. 31. Because God's work on our behalf is perfect and complete in essence, the only sin now is unbelief. All disobedience is simply the symptom of unbelief. Sin has not so much to do with evil deeds as it has to do with our relying upon ourselves instead of Christ for our life and our walk. This wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ must be published everywhere, preached to every single creature, so that men may repent of their sins, believe on the merciful Savior, and receive the Holy Ghost, which is the promise of the Father through the Son for the sanctification of their inner character and outer behavior. Published, preached, repent, believe, character. Last verse. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my blank. What's the answer? Salvation. And I daily meditate on the fact that he also baptized me. Actually, I should change that. Instead of salvation, Monica, wherever you are, change that. Instead of salvation, write justification there. Jesus Christ died and rose again for my justification. And I daily meditate on the fact that he also baptized me with the power of the blank blank, Holy Spirit, so that I may grow in holiness, both within character and without behavior. So, character and conduct. Conduct is third base, character is second base. Happiness is first base. Why? Gospel starts with Savior, then it takes Lord. The Lord is the last part of the baseball diamond. The gospel is the first part. The Savior is getting all the way to first base. In fact, all the way to second base. You get all the way to second base. The last one's character. Holiness. Holiness. Yeah. Okay, did you learn anything tonight? Simple, very simple. Children can learn this. It's very simple, but you have to go over it 50 times to see how beautiful it is, how simple, because you've been taught the law your whole life. And because you're used to the law, even when you hear that it's the gospel, you can't quite take it in because you have to translate it every time into happy. It's been the bad news for so long that it's hard to imagine it's good news. Even though you've heard it was good news, you've always heard it as bad news. It's like, it's good news to behave yourself. No, it isn't. Until you're dead. And that's the problem right there. Is you got to be dead to yourself, and you got to realize you can't be happy if you're doing your own thing. But yet I got happy before I did my own thing because Jesus Christ died for me. And so that part I thought was happy. Jesus died for me, but I didn't want to yet die for him. Because I thought, gee, that doesn't sound like fun at all. Better for him to die. I'll just take him as Savior. I don't want him as Lord. I don't want him to tell me what to do. I just want him to do for me, like a little kid. Little kid wants mom to forgive them and then to do it for them. That's great. And that's true. And any parent, that's how you teach children. But then there's a time where you say, you feed the cat. You know, you do this thing I've told you to do. All right, we're done. I just thought you would enjoy learning all about the gospel, the good news. So the only thing I really taught tonight is God is good. God is good. And his gospel is good. And it's always good. And it will always be good. And you cannot change it. It's going to be good forever. Now, you can decide that it's not. No problem. But that's not good. It'd be better to believe the good. Because the good is good. Amen. All right. Love you all.